Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and tonight I have the, what do we call her? The wannabe snow bunny, Dawn, as my co-host.
Actually, it's more like I want to be the spring Easter bunny, you know, and bring on the spring and the warmer temps. And although, yeah, it would have been nice to have some snow, but now I'm kind of over that, and now that I'm seeing flowers pop up everywhere, bring on spring and summer. I mean, I'm ready.
It's just
about beach weather, baby.
Yeah. Stop. Well, tonight we welcome Neville Lee, also known as Buzzworthy Radio. He's the host of his own radio show. He interviews people on the red carpet in the entertainment industry. He's an actor and an all-around great guy. He's even cute, too. So welcome, Neville.
I'm blushing. Wow. thank you for that intro. first of all, I'm glad you think I'm cute. I'm cute. what do you say to that? Except that, thank you.
I told you that before when you tweeted out pictures.
You just roll with it, Buzz.
You keep going. You did. And I honestly can't say I never tire hearing it. So.
Right.
Well, Buzz, I'm going to top that and say you're quite dashing. How about that?
Dashing. Is it because
dashing.
I wear the fedora? Is it the fedora?
Yeah, it's the aura. It's the buzz, man. It's the buzz.
Yep, yeah, and the fedora. That'll do it.
That's right.
Wow. I never leave my house without my hat. It's always on my head.
Really? And I'm the type of person that can't wear a hat. It bugs the heck out of me.
I love it. My friend actually makes fun of me because they always say, I don't even know what your head looks like because it's always underneath a hat. Every time I see you, I've never seen you without a hat. So it's very rare that I'm hatless. So.
Yeah, I think even when I was Googling pictures so I could set up the episode, I'm just trying to remember now if I saw you without a hat, and I don't think I did.
Well, Neville, I will say to you that on the Take Two Radio website, there is a picture of you front and center without a hat.
You put one up?
I saw that. It's your site, Pam.
I know, but I didn't know you put that up. That is so funny.
It was the picture from my very first ever Daytime Emmy Awards I've ever attended, which was in 2009. And yeah, I was in front on the red carpet just standing there getting a picture taken, and I was hatless. I did not have a fedora at that time, so it wasn't until the year after I got one. So I did not have the hat yet.
Well, now we'll have to tweet that picture all over the place so they know what your head looks like.
There we go. Yeah, well, you know, not everybody can wear a hat. It's, you know, I think certain people, and I don't know, fedoras are just the epitome
big
of
head,
cool,
I think
man.
It is. I have a big head. That's why it works.
Oh, it doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like it, no.
Mm-mm.
You're sweet. Thank you.
Well, you're still cute and dashing, so there.
All right. We'll go with that one, too. Absolutely.
Well, tell us about the wee lad Neville and what he wanted to be when he was growing up.
The wee lad. I wanted to be an astronaut. What do people say to these things when they're asked this question? I swear, I hear everybody ask this question a lot. And I'm watching it, and I'm going like, are they going to be lying? Are they telling the truth? What's going on here?
Either way, we get an answer, so I don't care.
But I honestly did not know what I wanted to do. I probably was thinking I was going to be out peddling stuff for change on the street corner probably. You know,
that
would be my luck. But I probably would not have been the one saying this. A certain person who I know would have said that. Daniel got her. but I really didn't. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I kept saying to myself, I wanted to do computers. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. Honestly, I don't think I found the passion to do the podcast that I do now, as well as maintaining the website and everything until I met Roger Newcomb. And he pretty much was the one who put me forward into this scene. You know, he gave me a role on one of his websites that he was doing, Rockland County at the time. And I did that first and foremost. And then when he stopped doing that, then he brought me over to Scripts and Scruples, which was his main website that he was doing. And I wound up doing that. And it was so much fun. I had a lot of fun doing that. And it was very interesting how to do those roles, because you read your lines with nobody on the other end of the phone. So you pretty much read your lines just by yourself, recording your lines just by yourself without anybody there. So it was kind of like you're sitting there going, how is the person who I am talking to in the scene going to react to what I'm saying?
Right.
And you don't know until after it airs. So it was very fun, and I totally enjoyed doing it. And while I was doing that, it was then when Roger pretty much said to me, you should do a radio show where you're basically talking about soaps. And I was like, really? Me? Doing something like that? I looked at it, and I was just going like, are you sure you're talking to me? Because I honestly could not picture myself doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
First attempt doing it, had no idea what the hell I was doing. None.
Yeah.
No clue whatsoever. Simply because I never saw Law Talk Radio when I first started to attempt to do it. So I tried it in such ways where I could at least attempt to do something, and it just completely died and just went down the toilet. So,
oh no, I can't even imagine.
Not at all.
It was just like, oh my god, I can't do this, because it's just, you know, it, you want to do something, but then it's not going the way that you want to have it done, where you just give up. That's pretty much what this was. So then I would say 4 months went by. It was about a good 4 months had gone by. When MySpace was still in and was pretty much the go-to place,
right?
I saw a post by somebody saying that they were hosting a show on Blog Talk Radio, and I was like, okay, what's that? I checked it out, you know, pretty much went with it, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. So you can pretty much host your own show on this one. Of course, you know, I did it through my cell phone because I had unlimited talk and text minutes, because I'd advise you, if you didn't have that, don't do it, because you'll have a massive phone bill.
You're right.
Massive phone bill. But it was interesting with the concept, because, you know, you were able to finally find a voice, and I was finally able to do what I initially wanted to do when I first started it. And I hosted a show with Ryan. For those of you who don't know, he runs the TV Source Magazine website. And him and I did a show for about a year before we had departed, and I went ahead, and that's when I started Buzzworthy in 2007. And I was able to incorporate a little bit more into this show than I did with the last one, and that was going for guests to appear on the show. And huge turnout when I first started. Huge turnout. I never expected this to happen, because I never thought that any of these people would ever want to do a podcast, let alone a podcast with me, somebody who just came into the scene, who's never been in this eye until that time. You know, there's been people that have been in the soap game for years. And here I am just coming into it, and here I am getting all these people showing up. I was flabbergasted. I just,
well, you have just voiced what Dawn and I both feel. I mean, and anybody that does this type of business, you know, we all feel the same way. Like, really? They said yes? You know.
When I first started out, I could not believe they said yes. And imagine their surprise, especially my first guest, which was Catherine Hicklin, where she was like, people can call in? Oh, gosh, that was amazing. And, you know, I found my passion doing this throughout, which is then where I was like, oh my gosh, I want this to be my life. I would love this to be my life. You know, I love this to be my business full time. And, you know, it was in that moment going forward where I said, this is exactly what I want to do, and this is where I think I should be. And just from here on out, trying to make it happen, you know, having the website, putting up the content, working with some incredible people, love Kevin Packey Jr., being able to get in touch with him and you know, having the chance to take Buzzworthy Radio to urradio.com and getting that launched and finally bringing that to the forefront. It's just been absolutely amazing whirlwind of a ride these past 5 years. And I'm enjoying every minute, and I love the fact that I was able to find my passion and my voice now. Better late than never, I should say. But
right.
Mm-hmm. It's been an incredible, incredible thing, and I would not change it for the world. Not at all.
Well, how did you get from radio to red carpet?
Well, I would say the first year I started doing the show, I had a co-host at the time before I went solo who had mentioned they think we should try to get on the red carpet for the Daytime Emmys. I personally was not ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that I was not ready for and I was not prepared to do. Because I just started it, I was not in the frame of mind where I felt that this would have been the time to do this. I honestly felt like I shouldn't be doing this now, let's do it next year. And I did. I looked into it, and when it looked like it wasn't going to be aired on network television, and by network I mean CBS, ABC, and NBC, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. So then here comes Associated Television, a.k.a. Jim Romanovich, coming in, and they were able to take it, and they were able to get it on the air, at least on the CW, that year in 2009. And being able to get in touch with him, talk to him about what he had wanted to do with the Daytime Emmy Awards, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people who then start getting into this realize, is that you're going to start making connections when you're doing this. And that was one of the connections that was made. And I couldn't thank him enough for being able to get put into his orbit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much how I got the chance to be able to go onto the red carpet for the first time, was getting in touch with him was the way it catapulted me to getting out there to Los Angeles on the red carpet for the very first time. Because I will be honest with you, when I first filled out the credential form, yeah, I didn't get approved.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
I really didn't. And it was the deadline. I was going to be in Los Angeles anyway because it actually fell the weekend of the YNR fan event that year. So I was already going to Los Angeles no matter what. But it was pretty much the deadline to where the credentials had to be filled out, and then they were going to start sending back the emails of who got approved. And a bunch of us were pretty much going online going like, oh, my God, did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? And
yeah.
I did. Everyone else did. And pretty much I then, you know, I went to Jim and I was going like, yeah, and, you know, I didn't hear anything. And he placed a call. Here I am getting an approval. So once
wow.
I placed the phone, pretty much is what happened. And that's how it went down. So then from that point on, I have been there for the past 4 years. Hopefully I'm going for a nice full five. So I'm hoping like that. Even though it did change hands in production companies, I was totally freaking out last year when Headline News, HLN, took it over.
Oh, I know,
and,
right? That was weird.
Oh, my God. Now that they're airing it, now I'm going to have to make myself known to these people,
mm-hmm.
this and that. It's like, oh, you have nothing to worry about. So I was skeptical about all of it, and then all of a sudden here I am getting the word like, oh yeah, I was actually one of the first that got the email back. Oh yeah, by the way, here you are. And I was like, okay, cool. So
while he jumped around and not telling anybody about that and screaming, yeah, okay, go back.
I kind of toned that down a little bit. I'm kind of going like more mellow now. I'm like more so before I was jumping up and down, but now I'm more or less like, okay, drink my Kool-Aid. I'm good. Red Kool-Aid, by the way.
Yeah, I know. That's your favorite.
Red Kool-Aid, yes. Indeed. But it's just been, no matter how many times I'm there, it's just amazing. It's just so crazy. But it's so much fun. And you meet so many new people that you'll then make a connection with. And I don't just mean actors, talent, those that work behind the scenes of a show, but those that are in the journalistic field. You make connections with them, and then you take that with you. I think it's great. I think it's great. Anybody who can get the chance to do that, I say go for it.
Well, I want to know, what was it like the first time you hit the red carpet for you? To have gotten there and just being in all of that?
I was sweating, and not just because of the fact that it was hot outside. I was sweating bullets because I really did not know who would come up and talk to me. I did not know who would I get the chance to speak to on the red carpet. And
Wow. Lo and behold,
here I am getting the chance to talk to so many wonderful and talented people. And everybody knows I'm a huge Melody Thomas Scott fan. Imagine me talking to her for the first time. I almost shit a brick. And I did. I really did, because I could not believe I am talking to one of my personal favorites right now. I'm really sitting here talking to Melody Thomas Scott right now on the red carpet. Is this for real?
It's like a surreal moment. Mm-hmm.
It really was. And, you know, there's so many people just like walk by, had a chance to see them and talk to them. And then you get this one person, Daniel Goddard. I don't have to tell you what that's like.
Oh, yeah. I would probably faint first.
I didn't faint, but I already knew what was going to come out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. I was prepared, but it's just the way it is. Whenever he's there, expect something perverted to just start spewing out. And then all your credibility is shot.
Right.
he's always a treat to talk to on the red carpet, because he's always fun. You never know what he's going to say. It's always a blast whenever you talk to him, but that was pretty much my first moment when I was on the red carpet. I just basically stood there going, like, I have no idea who's going to come here. I honestly felt people were just going to walk by and just brown nose you, because you are new to the game. I felt that these people were just going to go to the regulars that they've known for so long. They wouldn't give the new blood a chance. But
Right. They
did, you know. Once, like I said, you make those connections with certain people, and this especially was during the time when As the World Turns and Guiding Light was still on, and a lot of them pretty much were coming over, because I did make a connection with those two, not to mention these two were my soaps that I fell in love with for the first time. So that was even more surreal. But, you know, once that started happening, then everybody else started finding their way to you. So it was very nerve-wracking at first, but then once you settled in, really, what were you worried about? What were you worried about?
Yeah, it's just the initial part of it.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
I'm just, everyone remembers their first. So who was your first on the red carpet?
Van Hensis.
Oh, cool.
This was my, no, I'm sorry, Jake Silverman was the first one. Van Hensis came right after him. Because I remember saying that to Jake Silverman when he was on the red carpet, that he popped my red carpet cherry.
Oh.
And
I love it.
Wow, really? I'm your first? And I was like, yeah, I'm, you know, shocking.
That's great. That is great.
It broke the ice. But yeah, man, that was what happened. Crazy.
Well, in comparison to, like, interviewing, you know, people on your show and standing there in front of them, how was that? I mean, was it harder to talk to them face-to-face? Because I know for me, I could talk to anyone on the radio all day long. But in face-to-face, that would be tough.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think it's easier face-to-face, because then you get to see their reaction to you up close and personal. You don't get to see that when you're on the phone, or, you know, if you're basically doing one of these kind of interviews, you don't know what's on the other side of the pen. But when you're facing them and you're talking to them directly, you get a sense of how they're feeling towards you and what they think of you, especially when you're interviewing them on the red carpet. You get a chance to finally see if they're having a good time, if they enjoy talking to you, if they want to continue talking to you. So you get that feeling from them. And that's why I think it's so much more easier for me on the red carpet facing them directly, because then if I know they're having a good time, then I'm able to really be myself with them and then see how that goes too. So that's pretty much how I feel about it. I think it's easier. I love, don't get me wrong, I love the radio circuit. I do. But in person, it's definitely a lot of fun, a lot more easier.
Well, I'd have to get over my fright of speaking in public and learn not to turn red and and pray that they liked my questions.
Pretty much will notice how nervous you are. They'll do their best to make sure you calm down. They'll be like, it's okay, it's all right. Just be you. Don't worry about it. You know, there'll be people that'll definitely do that to you. So expect that as well.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Well, who have you interviewed that you couldn't believe you got the chance to interview besides Melody?
Gabriel Mann. that was, I'm telling you, it was simple. Gabriel Mann, yes.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I know you're a huge fan as well as I am.
I love My Revenge Man, and Gabriel Mann is definitely one of my favorites. And the fact that he did my show 5 times, I still can't believe. I still can't believe how he even got on the show the first time. And that was a story in itself.
Well, if you want to share, we're here.
Wow.
Well, what happened is that I was doing an interview with Ashton Holmes, and that was pre-taped. I aired it later that day, and I was airing it. And for those of you who don't know, Ashton Holmes was in the first season of Revenge as Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him about the character, and as well as him working opposite of Gabriel and what was going on there between the two of those characters. But then I had mentioned something on Twitter about how he was on right now, Gabriel Mann sees it, because he followed the Revenge hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
And he had retweeted the link. So while this was airing live, I'm sitting on the phone. I see this number pop in on the screen, on the switchboard. And I'm looking, and it's a 310 area code. And I'm like, okay, so who from California is calling in right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then I see a message from him. He tweets me back going like he's on the line.
Oh, boy.
And I'm sitting there going like, you've got to be kidding me now. And he's laughing, and he's like, no, I'm seriously sitting here listening to you two talk. And I was like, oh, my God. And now I'm like, okay, so how do I break it to you that this is taped right now? This
right?
is a lot. He falls out even more, and then he's just like, yeah, I thought it was live. I was like, well, if you want, I can make it live, and you call in, and I'll talk to you.
Mm-hmm. And he took you up on it.
And he did. And he wound up calling back in about, as soon as that was over, in about 10 minutes. And then he was like, here I am, let's go. And then ever since then, here it is. I'm just like, oh my God, what the hell, man? I couldn't tell you how much fun it has been ever since he's been coming onto the podcast all those times. And even to this day, I'm just like, I can't believe I'm talking to Gabriel Mann again for a half an hour. You know,
and
you just got
to meet him in person. What was that like?
I did get to meet him in person at PaleyFest last year. This time last year, I was in L.A. for PaleyFest, and I went to the Revenge event. And it got towards the end afterwards. Now, this is the point where you're going to get ready to go up to the stage and get an autograph with them. Sometimes they'll be able to get the sneak of the picture, but that's more difficult than the autograph at that point. So here you are. I'm in the middle of the aisle. Like, I'm in the middle section. So I wasn't that too far away from the front. And here I am seeing these girls coming on the side of the aisle when they were wrapping up, getting ready to run towards the stage to get to them. I mean, seriously, they were like kneeled down, ready to sprint.
Oh my
and
God.
No, it was just like that. I mean, my God, I'm like, they're really, really, really wanting to get to the front, like now. So as soon as they wrapped up, they bolted right up towards the front to get those autographs and everything. And I just stood there going like, and I'm going to go over here and see Sandy Bookstander first, which I did. So we met. He was executive producer of Revenge during the first season. One of the executive producers of the show during the first season, I should say. And I got to meet him, and he actually brought me towards the stage. Because the first thing he asked me was, have you met Gabe yet? I was like, oh, no, I haven't met him. But, you know, damn well, I'm gonna. So he moves me up towards the front of the stage to get his attention. He yells out Gabe's name. He's just automatically, he looks up. As soon as he sees my face, he knew right away who I was. He was like, oh, my God, it's Neville.
Oh, my God. Instead of you saying something, it's him doing it. That is too cool.
And you should have just seen everybody just turn around and look at me going like, what? And I'm like, uh-huh, he called me out. And what? And, So he comes down off the stage. He comes over to where I was standing in the front, gives me this huge hug. I feel someone behind me coming over to also give him a hug. You should have seen me. I pushed him out the way, not realizing who was behind me. I pushed him out the way and stepped on their foot just to get the hug from Gabe. And then I turned around and I saw who it was gothic redhead, Melanie Seeger. And I looked over and I was like, I pushed her.
You are too funny.
Red. And we just struck up a friendship there, and she just basically said, yeah, I remember you pushing me. And I was like, and if it were you, you'd push me too. She's like, yes, I would. I was that fan. You realize I turned into one of those fans when that happened, because I seriously did some pushing.
Yeah.
And now one of those fans. Now I'm one of those fans. Kill me now.
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine you being like that. But, yeah, I guess everybody has it in them.
They do. And I found out I had it in me when I met the dude. So right now, it was unbelievable. It was probably one of the best moments. Probably one of the best moments, because I never thought I would ever meet, let alone see an entire cast of a primetime show that I love to watch. And the fact that I was able to see them as well, get the picture with Gabe, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was just so, so thrilled. I was so thrilled. And the fact that they are really so genuine and nice and really friendly, as everybody says they are, the chance to finally see that for myself in person just adds on to the fact of why I love this cast and the show so much.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. How much did you enlarge that photo to hang on your wall? Does it go from ceiling to floor, or?
I haven't gotten there yet. I've been thinking of it as my wallpaper, but it's not there yet. I'm waiting for my revenge cameo, so then when I can get a picture with the whole cast, that's going to go straight on the wall.
Oh, definitely.
That's what I'm waiting for. I'm holding out. I'm telling you, Jesse Lasky, if you're listening, come on.
Yeah, right? Come on. We asked her. I know you tweeted it, and I followed back with, yeah, hello, let's go. So we want you on there.
I'm just saying, we're definitely more than willing to work for free.
Right.
So.
Yeah, let them play a waiter or something at one of the parties. My gosh, they have enough of them. You know, do something.
I would totally love to be at one of those parties at the Hamptons, especially in the Grayson Manor, because you know something's bound to go down there.
Right.
I just said, just as long as I'm the one not getting killed, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Well, it would be your debut and your day dead if you got killed.
Really?
That would be it. You wouldn't be able to go back on. But who got you hooked into soaps, whether it be daytime or primetime?
It's actually my mother. My mother and my grandmother both watched soaps when I was first born, And when I was three, my mom was not a CBS watcher at the time. She was ABC at the time. So my first show that I remember seeing for the first time was All My Children and General Hospital. I didn't really get into One Life to Live yet. It was later on I got into One Life to Live, but General Hospital and All My Children were the shows that they watched at the time. So I didn't really watch it. But then again, I was three. I don't know how much of it I would have remembered.
Right.
But I do remember when I was in preschool, I was four, and they were trying to find the station to where the cartoons were. And they didn't find it. They turned it to CBS, and As the World Turns was on. The seeing the globe and the beams, the big beams. If you don't know what opening sequence I'm talking about, you need to follow me on Twitter because I talk about it all the time. And it was basically the opening from 81 to 93, World Turns On and On, the one that had the big blue beams coming out of it, the nice blue globe, pretty much stuck out in my face, and the theme song of the show. And I was just like, I was so enamored by it, I had to watch it whenever it came on. And, of course, I was always in school when it came on.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an instance where they taped it for me so I could see it. And, you know, Guiding Light was the soap that came on when I got home. So that's how I got into As World Turns and Guiding Light. And those were the first two I've ever watched where I knew what was going on right away. And then I got into ABC. I then started switching up a little bit, going to ABC, watching All My Children and Loving and One Life to Live and General Hospital. The first story I remember watching on All My Children was Nat in the Well and Janet from Another Planet. Janet from Another Planet. That was one of my favorites. And the Megan storyline when Megan was dying on One Life to Live.
Oh, that was so sad. Yeah.
That's my very first One Life to Live story. And yeah, I was so upset when they killed her off. I loved Megan. I was 7 years old at the time, and I was just basically, I was crying like no other because this girl was going away. And, you know, that was my first story with that. And then General Hospital, Lucy Coe was just my woman. Lucy Coe,
yeah, right?
That
love
was
her.
It. She was the first character of General Hospital I remember, as well as Jason Quartermain. At the time, before he became Morgan, so those were the staples over there, and you know Laura Wright on Loving. So there was like people I associated with on these shows as to why I kept watching them, and then that's when I started getting into storylines in particular. After that, once I started watching it, so it was more characters at that point as to why I watched these shows, but then it then developed into watching them for the storylines that were playing out as well. So my mom and my grandma got me onto that, so I blame them.
Did they ever start watching the CBS soaps too, or they just stuck with ABC?
My mom started watching CBS, and she remains with CBS to this day. She hasn't been watching them a lot lately, but she knows what's going on. And my grandma was an ABC watcher. She stayed with ABC until after All My Children, One Life to Live got canceled, and she stopped watching ABC daytime once they were gone. She doesn't even watch GH anymore, which is a shame. But, yeah, she doesn't watch it anymore. I don't know why.
Did you tell her who's all back?
I haven't. And ironically, the funny thing of it is I just found out now they think that it's canceled. I had to tell them it just moved to a new time slot. It's still on the air.
Oh, my gosh.
They
I think if you tell her, you know, who's all back on there, like from back in the day, then they might start watching again.
Yeah. My mom, especially, she was like looking at Why Not the other day, and she saw that Steve Burton is now on the show. And she's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they got Jason on Why Not now.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I like him actually on the show. I love what Steve Burton is doing as Dylan. You know, it's a very different change from Jason on GH. I kind of like him over here.
Yeah.
Because he does have a personality. So.
Well, it's funny because, you know, when you've watched somebody for so many years on one soap, you can't picture them on another soap or a TV show, whatever, film, you know, wherever they decide to go. But once in a while, like Steve Burton, I accepted him right away as Dylan. I mean, it's just so strange that there was no moment of time where I said, oh, this is not going to work. You know, I still see him as Jason, which, of course, you know, I still do, but I can also accept him as Dylan. I think he's phenomenal in the role.
Anything else you wanted to add to co-host before I added my piece?
No. Well, now, I was just letting you guys talk and enjoying listening, actually, because I do my fair share of talking. But yeah, I have always been a CBS daytime fan. But I was one of those CBS daytime fans that knew who the big hitters were on the other soaps and the other networks. And, you know, Steve Burton's a good example. I mean, and I remember flipping over to GH on occasion and seeing him, and he always looked like this really tough guy, you know, But I was so excited to have somebody new in the mix at YNR, be it Steve Burton or whoever. I was so glad to finally have somebody in the mix, you know, that kind of shook up the whole Nick Adam dynamic. And I really like him in that role. I mean, I like his character and I'm just going to put it out there. I think Avery's crazy. I like her with Nick, but I wish she was with Dylan. So that's kind of my
I'm ready for Sharon and Dylan. I'm ready for that.
Me too.
I'm ready, willing, and able right now for those two to happen. Anything is better than Sharon and Adam right now at this point. I can't deal with that again. I will not go down that road. But I am very interested to see where they go with Sharon and Dylan on the show. So I'm pulling for that at this point. I'm also enjoying what they're giving to Melody Thomas-Scott. She deserves a storyline, and she deserves mm-hmm. to be front burner. And with this MS story, she's going to knock it out of the park. You know, there's just no denying it. So I'm very, very, very happy that she is doing some work, and they're definitely giving the work to her. You know, I know a lot of people had the reservations when Jill Farren Phillips came into the role of executive producer at the show when Maria Bell was released, and I was one of them. I was one of those people.
Well, of course, I was too.
Jester. Yeah, obviously, because we know the track record that she had.
Right.
We assume the track record that she had, especially with General Hospital and at Guiding Light and at Another World. But she's proven me wrong on some fronts. Of course, you know, there are going to be friends of Jill that's going to pop over there. Why the hell not? If they are working, and most of them are veteran actors that we like seeing, of course they're going to pop up. But if you treat your vets well and you don't shy away the YNR audience, we will remain behind you. So I was very pleased to hear that, you know, they were giving Melody this story. They're doing some of these promotions with it. Now, Angelica McDaniel, mad props to her for coming in here and rejuvenating CBS.
I agree.
Yes.
She has been a true godsend right now for CBS Daytime in recent years that the a CBS Daytime a vice president was not able to do. It just seemed like they did not even give a care to any of their lineup. She's coming in, especially a soap fan herself, trying to make the daytime lineup work. And work in such a way where they don't have to use so much money, but still make it look good. The promotions that they're having for The Young and the Restless now, I love the concept of the idea of the fact that they're going to have these little video snippets before each YNR episode for about 3 weeks to commemorate the 40th anniversary. I love how they were able to get some primetime actors doing promos for YNR's 40th anniversary. You know, the one thing I did agree with Roger Newcomb was that they could have done something to where they had YNR cast members who used to be on the show come back and do something like this, and not just those that are currently on the show, which I kind of would have loved to see. I would love to see what Trisha Cast is up to right now and Beth Maitland, anything else. Michael Corbett, even. I'll even go there rather than Kimberly Brown. We'll love to see something like that. But, you know, I love the idea. I love the idea behind it. You know, General Hospital is also doing a great job in promoting the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
I do think GH is slightly better with it.
Yeah.
With the promotion of it, slightly better with it. I do think so, because honestly, the reason I feel that way is because look who they just brought back, as we said earlier. Look who
mm-hmm.
has returned.
Right.
And you never thought in a million years would you ever think you would see Jean
never.
Francis and Ken Schreiner back as Scotty and Laura.
Nope.
Ian Buchanan and Fionnuala Hughes, here they are on contract, front burner. Jack
mm-hmm.
Wagner back as Frisco. Christina mm-hmm. Wagner, you know, and Lynn Herring, John Lindstrom, here they are again too.
Yep.
You know, it's just like you've seen all of these veteran actors come back to play, and it's amazing. You're seeing the hospital back first and foremost on a consistent basis. And you're,
right.
Here's the thing too. I was listening to something before I called in, and, you know, they had mentioned that a hospital is being played into the show again, which is great, but then they also made a mention of how people always are complaining about something. And, of course, they're always complaining about what's going on in the hospital with Sabrina and Felix and Brittany, who I eloquently call bitch-ney.
Please, yes.
I love Kelly, though. I love her. She
mm-hmm.
played that part so well. And I say it numerous times, I hate the character. I love to hate the
Not
character.
Not the actor, right. I totally agree with you.
Love the actress. And that's one of the things that I think some people need to get in check too, is that the
yes.
actor or actress is not the character. And
yes.
then you confuse that. But the other thing too is that, you know, they're seeing all these newbies in there, but I'm like sitting there going like, but again, didn't the show start off with newbies? Wasn't Monica a newbie? Wasn't Bobby
of
a newbie?
Course.
Hospital?
Mm-hmm.
These are newbies too. And you can't really have a show without newbies nowadays anymore. And if they worked them in conjunction with some of the veteran cast, I think that's a whole different spectrum that they should be
right.
doing that too.
Because right. they're not just
them-
front burning the newbies, but they're interacting with the veterans. Thank you. My
mm-hmm.
mind just went blank, but they're, yeah, with the veterans.
So then, but then, too, you know, obviously, you know, they want Monica shown some more. Great. I agree with that, too. You know, Monica should be shown in the hospital a little bit more. Show some of the Dr. Quartermain. But really, who else in General Hospital besides Patrick and Elizabeth that are there that have been around for a long time that they could have easily interacted with? You have to bring in somebody fresh and new into the scene. And I love Felix. Love Felix to that.
I do, too.
And he's probably the actor. I don't know your real name, but he is a breath of fresh air right now on that show. Every time he's on, I love the guy to death. Work is what he says. So love him to death on that show. And watching Jane Elliott front burner right now, even with the whole pickled Lila thing, is
mm-hmm.
just absolutely amazing, because no matter what, these people are getting the chance to finally play and be front burner now, and they never were before, no matter what. I mean, there have been some instances where Guza did have some good stuff, but you never would see them showcase like this under his tenure. Never.
Right, right. I know. I can't even imagine when they get back to, you know, because we know all of these people that are back on there now are not going to stay. And I just can't imagine GH without them again. It's almost like it's wonderful that they've been brought back, but then we got a taste of what it was like before, and we love it. And then shortly they'll be gone again.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying
yeah.
it right now. I have no complaints about it. And if there is a way they can keep them on there for a lot longer, thumbs up to you. I God bless y'all. I
mm-hmm.
really would love that to happen. But even if it doesn't happen, I'm soaking it up right now. And the other thing, too, let's segue into this, too, now talking about things being brought back. All My Children and One Life to Live. That, I still cannot believe, even to this point in day, that that's even coming back. I seriously sat here, and I was one of those people that was like, they're not coming back. just give it up. Just stop talking about it right now and move on. And lo and behold, they proved me wrong. Here they are. These two are coming back. You know, All My Children just finished up a couple of weeks in production.
Mm-hmm.
One last is to start on the 18th. And they're going to be airing very, very soon on the internet. I still, at this point, cannot believe it. I am amazed at the fact that this has been brought back. And they really were planning on bringing these back the entire time. It's just amazing to me. I wish that Prospect Park would be a little bit more upfront a little bit with some of their things going on with the shows, with press releases and everything like that. But in hindsight, I still am in awe of the fact that this is going on. I'm interested to seeing what's going to happen with the two shows, as into how they're going to write for these characters, the camera work, all the production work, how it's going to look online, all of it. I am very interested in seeing what that's going to be like. And what disappoints me about that, too, this is another thing that was also mentioned on Soap Central Live tonight, that there's so many people that are pretty much going online saying that they're not going to watch it. They're not going to watch it.
And I don't understand that.
That's the thing. None of us understand that. You wanted these shows back so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't want to watch it. I don't understand that.
No.
You're not able to give it a chance. Give it a chance before you cast it away. They really need to give it a chance. They may.
Well,
sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, I was all right. I was good.
I was just curious. I mean, I wonder if those that really were, you know, wanted them back, that are now saying I'm not going to watch it online, maybe their whole, you know, idea was they wanted it back on television, you know. But gosh, to have it back where it's viewable somewhere is a miracle, short of a miracle. I mean, who would have thought it? I mean, Pam and I have had this conversation so many times, and, you know, I think up until real recently, she was so skeptical. She's like, I won't believe it till I see it. I won't believe it. I mean, as they were starting to introduce who they were bringing back, and she's like, they did this just before. I'm not going to believe it. until
No,
you know,
well, because,
I
said, it was put out in front of us before.
Mm-hmm.
We were all gung-ho for supporting Prospect Park and everybody, and then it just fell, and then that was it. There was nothing. So when you get your hopes raised that high and get hurt that badly a second time in a row between ABC and Prospect Park, how are you going to give them a chance a third time?
Right, exactly. I was so skeptical about it because, again, we pretty much were just like, all right, well, here they are again. I'm like, this is not going to happen. We've already went through this song and dance already, but heaven help me, here they are actually getting all these actors in, getting made all the deals with WGA and DGA and everything of the sort. Got the SAG-AFTRA, and they had these actors brought in. They did work, and I'm just am amazed that they were able to get this done. And right now, I'm just waiting for the finished product. I'm awaiting the finished product and see what that's going to be like. I'm giving these a chance. I'm giving both of them a chance.
Oh, sure. Sure. You can't not give them a chance. Just because it's on the web doesn't mean it's not going to be good. Look at all of the web series that we watch and how many of them are phenomenal. So why can't you take a soap off of the TV and put it on the web?
Another example, too, House of Cards. That was on Netflix. You got new episodes on Netflix, and people loved watching that. You could watch that show, but you won't watch the soap online because either it's online or the fact that it doesn't have some of your favorites on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Don't get me wrong. I understand that we may not have Susan Lucci here, but for one episode. I understand we may not have Alicia Mishu on, but for one episode. I understand that.
Right.
But you still got to give it a chance because this is the show that you wanted back all this time. The fact that you're now basically saying you don't want to watch it is a slap in the face to me. I feel like you're not a true fan. If you went through all this trouble to campaign, do whatever it is that you did to get
no matter how, we always said that, no matter how we get to watch them, we'll watch them, and here it is.
And now all of a sudden we don't want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just really upsets me. It really infuriates me that's
me
really
too.
The way it is.
Me too. Me too. And I would watch All My Children if it was only David Hayward on there.
It was funny how at one point we actually thought that was actually what was going to happen.
Just I know,
David
right?
Hayward. I did, but I said I still would watch it anyway just to see what they would do with just the one person.
Me too.
Well, Nevaeh, I'm curious to get your opinion on this. If, you know, these reboots of AMC and, you know, and One Life to Live take off, do you see in the future the possibility of Guiding Light and As World Turns coming back?
I actually said this at one point on Twitter, too. I said it. I actually said that same thing that you just asked me, is that if these prove successful, do you think that these two shows could come back? And I hope so. I know that Procter & Gamble can be a bitch because they may not want to give up the rights for these two shows.
Well, couldn't they share it like ABC does? I mean,
well, my thing is they're holding on to the rights, but those rights are not making them any money. I mean, those two soaps are dead in the water, and, you know, advertisers are going to the web, you know, as we speak, left and right, because they're getting forwarded through on regular television due to, you know, cable and satellite. So it would be a gold mine situation for them if they would just take that, no pun intended, gamble, especially if One Life to Live and All My Children prove that it can happen and it can be very successful. I mean, I don't see how they could lose, because it seems like the age of the web is so huge now, and the age of a lot of things, viewable things, moving to the web. I mean, that's going to be the next big thing.
Absolutely.
I would love, I mean, I know those actors, I mean, being a longtime fan of both of those, Guiding Light was my all-time favorite show, and I was just mortified. I mean, I'm like you, I grew up watching soaps, and you never, I just remember all there ever was on from 12:30 to 4 p.m. was soaps in the afternoon, Monday through Friday. You just never, ever thought there would come a day when the soaps would be off air. One by one, they'd be dropping like flies, and that was just unthinkable. And so, you know, I applaud Prospect Park for bringing them back, and for the fans getting behind them and making it happen, you know, and really making a voice about it, because I hope that Procter & Gamble will sit up and take note. And I hope that they are already, but, you know, that would be an awesome thing. I would be very happy. And, yes, I would watch it on the web.
Oh, absolutely, I would.
And I would begin to watch it on the web since I never saw it on TV. Those are the couple soaps
well,
that I didn't watch. I mean, I've watched everything else.
Pam, you missed out. I'm just going to tell you, they were great. I mean, they were great soaps, and just love the storylines, and, oh, my gosh, just awesome. CBS, you know, all three networks have done a great job with their soaps, but I was just always such a huge CBS fan, and it would be a dream come true for me personally to see that happen, and I hope it does eventually.
Oh, absolutely. I feel the same way. If there's any way we can bring back As the World Turns to Guiding Light, I'd be all for it.
I'd be
behind it 100%.
And I think those actors would jump at the opportunity to be back on their soap. You know what I mean? When you have some of those actors that have been on those, you know, those soaps for 20 and 30 plus years, and that was kind of most of their acting career, I mean, that, you know, that would be a dream come true for them as well. And
yes.
So, yeah, I would love to see it happen.
Well, I was wondering, I thought I read somewhere that AMC and One Life to Live are going to start 5 years in the future. Is that right?
All My Children is. I don't believe One Life to Live is doing that, but All My Children will be 5 years after what happened on the final episode. So, yeah, it'll be 5 years into the future. We'll see JR waking up from his coma. So we are safe to assume, I guess, that he wound up getting shot at that party on the final episode. So we're safe to assume that. So we'll see how that all plays out. But yes, the only one that I know for sure that is only doing that is All My Children.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious about that. I'm assuming that they'll probably try to do some kind of backstory on some of these things to, you know, for people that are just tuning in for the first time.
That makes sense. That does make sense, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did do that. So we'll see.
And what do you think about it becoming racier?
I'm all for it. I
knew
really
you'd say that.
I'm all for it, and I don't mean side butt to or side boob. I need full front, full frontal. If you're gonna go all out, you need to go all out. Go hard or go home. I really, really want it. So please don't disappoint.
Yeah. Well, just make sure the room is warm.
Yeah.
Get the fans out.
So let's talk soaps.
They got a hot young cast, so yes.
Oh, yeah.
It.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like Dawn and I just discussed, I think this was yesterday or today. I don't even remember because we talk so much. There's never an ugly person on a soap.
Uh-oh.
Nope.
I mean, you can't even think of one. Some you may not think are as hot as others, but, you know, they're all good-looking in their own rights.
Right, exactly.
So like, take a pick, you know?
Yeah. let's talk soaps of today on TV. Let's start with Young and the Restless. What are your thoughts? What do you like the most? Which storylines? I know you mentioned about Melody Thomas Scott, her storyline, and I was scared at first they were going to kill her off, so thank God they're not going to do that.
I did have that little notion in my head because I was like, Jill Fehrenfeld, she knows she's going to kill her. Mm-hmm. But I am enjoying that, obviously, as you said, but I love the fact that we are seeing more Christoph St. John and Angel Conwell.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Both of them. God, thank you. Look at God, everybody, that they're actually doing something. And the fact of where this story is going to go for Leslie's character, it'll be interesting to see. And I'm very much enjoying the fact we're getting to see him play opposite off of her, as well as Angel herself. She's very, very good in the role. And Rhetoric Williams as Tyler, I like the addition of him coming in and possibly being some kind of a nuisance to Kane. And
yeah.
It's making it more interesting for Kane and Lily for me, because I never really was behind Lane, as many people know. And this is the only and first time I've ever actually spoke out and said, I'm finally finding them interesting, because they have something or someone that's getting in their way that's making them interesting. So I am enjoying him in the mix with them. And what else am I enjoying on that show? Catherine Chancellor, we need more of you, Jill, as well in this storyline with what's going on. The fact that we're not seeing much of you is making me very sad that we're not seeing a lot of Jess Walton right now, especially in this storyline. Adriana should not be involved in it whatsoever. But
I couldn't agree more, but I guess that's their way of fitting her into a storyline with somebody, because really after she, you know, gave the money to her brother and that, what was left for her to do?
Yeah, then that's pretty much the point where you go, all right, time to go.
Exactly.
That's pretty much it. It's time to go.
So do you think Ignacio is sticking around for a little while yet?
I think so, because maybe they might do something with his character and Abby, especially when Melissa Ordway takes over the role.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they're going to go down that route with those two. So
that's what I wondered, too, and I think that would be a good couple.
And I'm also liking what Christian LeBlanc and Tracy Bergman have been doing lately, especially with the bullying storyline with Max Eric and Daniel Polo, and now her cheating on him with Carmine. It's just like Lauren of old, in a sense. You know what I mean? It's something that Lauren Fenmore would do.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that she had matured, obviously, but unfortunately, she still has those ways in her, and they're being brought to the surface yet again. So I'm very, very interested to see more of that storyline, because, you know, her and Christian LeBlanc, they act their asses off, and they're going to rock it. So I'm very interested in seeing what goes on there, too.
Yeah, I mean, it just blew my mind when she actually cheated on him. You know, I thought it was going to be sort of like, you know, thoughts going through her head, but she was never going to act on it. And then here she did, and I was like, oh, my God, do not break up one of my favorite couples. But, I mean, I understand it.
I so did not see that coming at all. I mean, even though there was a flirtation going on and, you know, Carmine was, you knew what he was after, but still I felt like Lauren was grounded enough in her marriage to not go there. I mean, so I was really surprised about that, you know. But it is nice to see kind of that old Lauren, you know, that's kind of been written into the storyline to kind of remind the longtime viewers of one, or, you know, that was how Lauren used to be, you know. And she's been reformed for a good while, but she's still got that within her, you know, like you said. So that's really interesting to see it kind of coming back around.
This is the same woman who sent Brad to the hospital after having a heart attack. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she was a bully herself, so.
She was a bully.
Mm-hmm.
She was a bully.
Well, what storyline would you like to see go bye-bye?
Well, the Adriana story kind of ended, so I can't really say that. Can't really say that, but a story I'd like to see go away. I haven't really seen Avery cooking lately.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah,
maybe
Avery
they started complaining they were getting too fat, because from what I understand, it's a real kitchen and she's really cooking and feeding them.
Oh, well, then I would never have complained. If I got fat, I would have gone ahead and eaten. But
that's for sure, you know.
But the fact that I'm not there is really not doing me any good. So stop with
the
cooking.
That's exactly right.
I like to think of, well, I really, if there's any way you could sever ties between Sharon and Adam, yes, that's what I want. I really don't think they should be in each other's orbits. I love the two as actors, I do, but I don't like Sharon and Adam at least being friendly to each other. I think that should not even be the case in this point. You can be civil to the guy in a sense. Mm-hmm. I really was not behind them when they were a couple to begin with. I thought that was wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
But if there's just like a way you can keep Sharon and Adam apart, that's what I probably would do. And that's my only gripe. I think that's really has been my only gripe.
Yeah, and that says a lot for Y&R, you know, that you can really, you have to dig in your mind to find something that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of the Abby recast? I mean, that just blew my mind from so many levels. I was like, what? She just got back on. I love her.
Well, that's Y&R's fault for not signing her to a contract when they brought her back to the show after they fired her the first time.
Right.
That was their first mistake. Their second mistake was when they brought her back, not giving her a contract. You didn't sign, seal, and deliver the woman to the show. And, you know, a girl's got to eat. So,
of course,
she's going to go and try to find something to sink her teeth into on a daily basis. Luckily, the fact that, you know, it's going to take some getting used to calling her M, since she's always Marcy to me.
Right.
But the fact that she got the role of Lulu, I'm digging it because I love her. You know, I'm going to miss Julie Marie Brennan because I loved her in the role as well.
Yeah.
She won Emmys for the role. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how M takes over the part. Like, what is she going to bring to the character? So I'm very interested in seeing that when she first starts airing on the show. The recast, I'm hearing differences of opinion on the girl. Melissa Ordway, I heard, you know, differences on the one end that she's very horrible. They didn't like her. They thought she was terrible, and the others thought she was good. I've never really seen her in Hollywood Heights, so I cannot judge. until I see her and what I think of her. So hopefully...
Well,
let
me tell you, I watched Hollywood Heights. And
okay.
She played Chloe, the biggest biatch in the world, perfectly. She did sort of redeem herself in the end, but she's a good actress from what I've seen on that show because I haven't seen her on anything else. So her as Abby, I guess I can see it, but she's a totally different character than Chloe. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, Chloe was always doing bad things to people because she wanted, you know, so-and-so and to be her boyfriend and to get married and live this rich life and become this famous actress and so on and so forth. And Abby
right.
just does things to basically hurt herself.
She does things for attention.
Yeah.
That's what Abby does.
Yeah.
She does things
right.
for attention. So,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it sounds like she will be very good in that role, you know. But I'm, even though I'm actually starting to watch General Hospital just because of all the actors that I remember being on there, even though I didn't watch it, but I knew who they were. But I'm really excited to see what she's going to do in the role of Lulu. Over there, because she is such a spitfire when she performs, and I just love her energy, and I think she'll take that to any role she's in. So
yeah,
it's going to be really interesting to watch her in transition into that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we wish Julie Berman, of course, the best in what she moves on to, because she's
Absolutely.
A great actress. So I have no doubt that she'll end up somewhere else or, you know, in something new. Isn't
well,
it prime time, like people are auditioning right now for prime time shows, or is that part over?
I think they still are. I think so.
Yeah, well, maybe she's doing some of that. So wish her all the best. On Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Hope, Lee, and Steffi.
It is my least favorite soap on air right now. I can't take much more. This whole resurrection they're trying to do, the whole Brooke, Ridge, Taylor storyline resurrection.
Oh, don't get me started on Patreon either.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh. It's like, please, this is not the first time around, folks. This is, no, it's not working. It's Liam chews, and now he chose because she's pregnant. It's like, please, I can't even go there. It's just, it just runs all over me.
And don't, like I said, don't get me started on Tay-Tramp, because Tay-Tramp getting in bed with Eric, I'm just like, no. That is...
To me, I could take Victor and Sharon any day over this whole deal with Eric and Taylor. That is just it's just not working. I can't watch that soap right now. They got to do something better than what they're doing. You know, it's lost its luster with me. I'm just because I could not watch it for 6 months. Turn it on, it's gonna be the same stuff, and it's like, wow, I've not missed a thing. You know. And, you know, and it's just not enough for me. It's just too, you know, you got the one or two storylines that are so dominant. But I am very happy, and Pam and I were just talking about this the other day, I am so happy that, you know, Texas Battle and Crystal and Lloyd, they've had, you know, a storyline, and I hope that continues to evolve now that they've brought in, you know, the other characters that were on ZL, and now they're working back together again on Bold and the Beautiful. So I'm really happy to see that happening because it's given us something different to watch on that soap, for one thing, you know. So that I'm very, very good move on B&B's part.
Well, Stephanie's
yeah,
been
no,
gone
I have no
for
other
a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no other opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's killing me. I could even take the three-way between Liam and Steffi and Hope before I can with watching Taylor and Eric because it's just wrong. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Brooke and Eric, yes. Taylor and Eric, no.
No.
No. That is, I don't know what was going on the day they decided that that was going to be a great storyline to write, because it just ain't happening. And poor Stephanie, she's just rolled in her grave how many times now? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, to go to great lengths to, you know, when Susan Flannery decided to leave that show, and to write that storyline with such perfection and such moving, touching dialogue, and just watching it to the very end, the way they sent her off, it was Emmy-worthy. And then to have in less than 6 months' time after the fact, not even that long, to have this going on is just, I mean, it's just, I can't even deal with that. It's like, no way. Have we forgotten already? And it's just such a disservice in a way for me to the character, because it's almost like after, you know, Ron Moss and Susan left, there's really nothing left to write. And
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just it's like moving on, you know?
Right.
Well, how much time do you give it before Brooke and Don Diamant's character get together?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
While it's not on, they're probably getting busy right now over the weekend and come back one day and be like, you know. I'm serious. Tomorrow, I mean, Brooke and Bill are so wrong, it's right. It's just the way it is. And I like them.
I do too.
I honestly, I don't think there's ever been a Brooke relationship I hated.
Yeah.
No,
I agree.
Not really. I think it's, with Katie holding back and trying to work on her marriage, she's all dedicated to the baby. And the last I saw at B&B, Bill was asking her to go out and saying, hey, we're still a couple. We're not only just parents, you know.
Yeah.
So that was the last I saw of it, and then of him thinking about Brooke again. So, yeah, I know it's going down that road.
Right.
And I think that takes care. Oh, no, one other thing. Okay, Rick did everything possible to get Caroline, and now he's snooping after Maya.
I saw that. With her big hair and all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now he's planning on going after her. Okay.
He's such a player.
He's his... Mama's son, that's all I can tell you.
Yeah. Well, last I saw, he was in the restaurant talking to Maya, and then Caroline walked in, which I hadn't seen her for quite a while that I can think of. I mean, the last time might have been, like, not too long after she fell off the terrace.
Oh, yeah. That was a nice day.
Yeah.
It was. I'm sorry. I'm not Caroline. And I'm not. So I was just like, oh, yeah, thank you. At least you did something correctly.
I didn't think she was going to come back alive either. I thought that was going to be the end of her, but yeah.
I was upset.
Yeah.
I was upset that she came back.
Well, we're going to move up the channel now, and we're going to go to NBC, and we're going to talk about Days. So hit it.
I am finally back in love with the show.
Thank you.
Blake Barris, it's funny. I actually talked to him yesterday, and we did like a quick little interview and everything, and I completely just told him, you are a douchebag.
Yeah.
Your character is a douchebag, but I totally am totally digging it. You know, there was the line that he said to Will on the air show that was Wednesday about how, if you wanted to love something, get a dog.
Yes.
I said, I almost dropped my laptop. When he said that line, because I was cracking up. I was dying. And I almost dropped the laptop. And I was like, yep, that happened.
Yeah.
I said, your character, no matter how douchebaggy he is, you are doing something right. Because if I did not hate you, you're doing something wrong.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly,
right.
And I do not like that guy at all right now, so he's definitely bringing it on. I'll never forget when he admitted to Will that that was the reason he wants the baby with them and not with Will, because he was gay. I never thought he was really going to admit that. It's like so soon.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I'm more or less now wondering what's going to happen when Vargas gets out and he faces Nick all over again. I told him, I'm so impatient. I want to know what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
And I'm dying to know what they're going to bring to the table, as well as find out more as to what the behind-the-scenes story was of what happened between Vargas and Nick in prison.
Well, maybe it was behind the scenes in the jail that Vargas...
Very much speculated, and I don't doubt it. It kind of... Yeah, a lot of people are saying that it's possible that what happened in prison was the same thing somewhat to what happened with Michael and Carter
on the
hospital. And I don't doubt that whatsoever. I think that's probably it. That probably was what happened.
Yeah, and that's why he hates gay people so much.
Right. And yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it makes sense, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Will and Sonny, pretty much the fact that they're able to showcase their romance on screen without having to worry about any barriers, I think is really good for the show.
Yes.
I could not believe how enthralled I was with Sammy and EJ having sex the other day.
Oh, my God. And then she brings up knocking off Nick.
In the middle of them having sex. I just basically sat there like, that just happened, right?
I could not believe it. Oh, my God. All hot and heavy. Well, we really need to get rid of Nick.
And they got back to getting busy again. I was like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it, like, turned them on, that the thought of knocking off Nick. It turned them on. It was so funny.
I thought that was great. I was so loving that scene. I was like, damn, this is what got them hot and heavy was basically the thought of getting rid of Nick. Damn.
Right? That just blew my mind, too. I mean, that was so funny. I had to laugh, you know. It really was funny. But anytime you can see EJ or James Scott without a shirt is okay by me. I don't care what he says.
I know.
Rafe and Kate? Interesting. It's interesting,
and I don't have a final view on that yet, or opinion, I should
That's
say.
Pretty much where I am with it. I just think it's interesting. I don't know where else to go.
Mm-hmm. Daniel,
Chloe, Daniel, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's driving me insane. I'd rather see him with Chloe.
That can go away.
Yeah.
And of course,
I'd rather see him with Chloe if I had to pick one.
And we all know that Nicole's going to find some way to get that. That collar off of Eric's neck.
Oh, you know it. You know it.
Somehow I knew he was going to say that.
And I can't wait for that to happen, because although I am so very thankful that they brought the Eric character back, why as a priest? Couldn't he be a reverend or somebody that can do the hoochie-coochie?
Yeah, right. You can't, you pretty much taking a vow of pretty much going like, yeah, we can't have fun in the sack anymore.
No.
Well, it sets up that tension factor between the two characters, you know, the fact of, you know, he can't do it because it'll break a vow and, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? Eric's not even thinking that way. I mean, he's clueless to how Nicole feels. And he's not even thinking that way. He just keeps asking her what's wrong. Like, he thinks that she's thinking about Daniel and that.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have a clue.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the tension is all on Nicole's side right now.
Right.
Well, maybe she just needs to take her clothes off and be done with it. Then he'll get a clue.
<That's>
If he don't get a clue, then maybe he just needs to remain a priest and she needs to move on.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more of, like, blatantly obvious you could make it if you did that. I mean, you know, so that's just kind of, I'm not saying that's what I would do, but I'm saying for in
yeah,
my case.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
No. But, I mean, seriously, in her case, it's like, come on already, you know, stop beating around the bush, you know. If he's clueless, then you're going to have to get his attention, obviously, and make him be unclueless. So, yeah.
Well, I absolutely love, too, that they brought Patrika Darbo back.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. I always did. And where's her hubby?
I was getting ready to say, where's Kevin Spiritus at?
Uh-huh.
Time for Dr. Craig Wesley to make an appearance. I'm just saying.
That's right.
He's available. Give him a call.
Is he? Oh, you hear us, NBC? You hear us, Dave?
Right.
Call him. But then, and that would be interesting, too, if he came back, because here Chloe's mom is all for, you know, helping her out get Daniel, and then bring in the dad, and he's going to be, what's wrong with you girls, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that would put another spin on it. Let's see, who
love
else?
Love having Eileen Davidson back as Kristen DiMera.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I can't wait till Stefano gets back.
Finally.
Yeah, he's been gone forever. I mean, is this just something, in your opinion, that Days has going with Stefano, like just phone it in for like 6 months? Or what's going on there?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just know that Elizabeth Hasselbeck is leaving The View, but I don't know what's going on with I'm happy about that, by the way. But I don't know what they're planning on doing with Stefano, especially when he returns. I really don't know.
When he finds Kate and Rafe together, maybe that'll stir the pot.
And I know he knows about EJ and Sammy, but
mm-hmm.
I don't really know what more he'll be able to do as far as they are concerned. But as far as with Kristen, I'm sure he could make plenty of use out of that with her and John and Marlena. So there'll be something for him to do in Salem.
Yeah. Well, I like how it ended with John showing up at the door, so I can't wait to see what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last I saw of that. I'm trying to think. Are there any other characters on Days?
Sounds like you've covered them all.
I think those are the only front burner ones for now. Okay, so we'll move on to ABC, and which, of course, we only know there's one soap there now. So hit it with GH.
GH. Well, first of all, let's get out what we hate, since that would probably be the least one that we will be able to come
mm-hmm.
up with.
Yeah.
What do we hate about the show?
What do we hate? I have to
be honest. I love you, Kelly Sullivan. I really, really do. But Kate Connie has got to go. So
that's my opinion, and that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm so tired of that storyline. I just want to rip my eyes out every time she switches over one or the other. I can't handle it anymore.
I'm just like, pick one and stick with it. If anything, if it were me, I would have them stick with Connie and just look at that. I found Connie more interesting, and I'd rather have been Connie that remained the dominant alter and not have her revert back to Kate. But I'm tired of the back and forthing.
I am too.
I'm just like, just stop it right now. Just stop it.
How many times in one episode have we watched it recently? I mean, she went from having sex with Sonny as Connie, and then the next thing as Kate, and now Connie's back again. And, please, that's it. No.
And how, if you watch, I mean, when I saw that, when she was in the mirror basically telling it about how Kate was going to steal her man, Sonny, I was like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, wait a minute. What? I was just so my head spun. So that was really my only thing about the show that I had a gripe about. It's just this whole thing just needs to wrap it up. I'm loving everything else. I know people had complained about this whole thing with Caleb and Lucy and Heather and Todd and the vampires, which you saw were not vampires.
Right.
But, of course, I was biased because I was a Poor Charles fan.
I loved it. I loved it. And yes, as you, like you, watched Poor Charles, loved it, hated when they took it off. So I'm glad that they put a little bit of it in there.
I was a huge Poor Charles fan. I loved Charles. And, of course, this was during the time when it was on. I still have SoapNet, so I don't even know why I'm saying that. I still have SoapNet. But I was able to watch The Young and Restless and Poor Charles, so I didn't have to worry about it missing both of those shows. And I loved it when Michael Easton first came on as Caleb. And his chemistry with Kelly Monaco, Caleb and Libby were my everything.
Oh, mine too.
They were my everything. Loved it. I was so upset when they killed him off, and then when they brought him back, that was totally in love with it.
Yep. The only thing is, I mean, we all thought when they killed Caleb, or whatever his name turned out to be, that that was the end of it, but Lucy, of course, didn't believe it. But then in the morgue, that guy stuck the ring back on his finger, and his finger moved. So what's going on there? Is there going to be more to this? You know, they left us hanging with that.
I guess that's true what they say. We just got to wait and see.
Yeah.
But I would just love it if they wound up doing something. Maybe this could be his exit, Michael Easton's exit. They do something with John and Caleb, which is why we won't see him for a certain amount of time before he can come back. Never know. You never know.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, too, because he's working on One Life to Live, and I also read, now, of course, I don't believe everything I read, so that's why I question it, is that he cannot be on GH while he's airing on One Life to Live.
Right. He can't. So, that's per the agreement, which makes sense, obviously, that you can't, that he can't air the same day. Like, if he was on One Life to Live, his character cannot air on General Hospital on the same day. Like I said, it makes sense.
Right, exactly. And I wonder if it's that way for Chris Alderson and Roger Hallworth. I would imagine it probably is.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Yeah. It definitely makes sense because, it takes away from One Life to Live viewing. I think that because people are used to seeing it on TV, as you say, a lot of people won't watch it online. And if they know they can get their Michael Easton fix or their Roger Hallworth fix, they're going to watch DH at this point.
Right.
So, I mean, that makes sense, and I don't blame them for doing it. But it'll be interesting to see how those storylines go. Who do you want Felicia with?
It really did me in when I saw those flashbacks of Frisco and Felicia.
Oh, I know.
It really, really did me in. I was so in love with Mac and Felicia.
Me too.
Kind of tough to choose at this point.
It is for me too. You miss the Felicia Frisco days, and you know how
good they
used to be. But then you know how well her and Mac are together, and then he's always there to support her and has raised her family for her, you know, and you'd hate to see that go by the wayside as well. So to me, if you asked me that same question, I couldn't pick right now.
No, I couldn't either.
So who else? Oh, when did Chris Alderson become a brain child with, I mean, we always knew she was intelligent, but since when is she like this person that, like a chemist or something that knows the breakdown of all these things? Where did that come from? Was that out of the blue, or did I miss something?
I think that actually did start a little bit on One Night to Live. I mean, it was hinted a little bit, but we never really seen anything. So I'm kind of assuming it started there by this one scene when Victor and Todd, when they were trying to decipher who was the real Todd Manning, she kind of put two and two together and realized that they were possibly twins.
Oh,
and
yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that she thought that they were twins. Of course, Jack thought they were clones because he read about it in Springfield. I was like, and you mean Kim Zimmer was not there in the scene to watch and listen to that? I mean, that's all that was missing. Right. Like, where was Reba Shane at listening
exactly.
to this?
Exactly. Where was Reba Shane?
I was like, wow. But, yeah, so I kind of felt that maybe that's where it stemmed from that point. So it's possible. It's possible they went back to that. But I don't know. That some things pop out of the blue on soaps anyway, so who's to say?
And would you like to see Patrick with Sabrina?
I would like to see Patrick move on.
Yeah.
Especially if they cannot get Kimberly McCullough back on a more consistent basis, I would like to see him move on. Now, would that be with Sabrina? Maybe, maybe not. Brittany, while interesting as that was, she's too much of a bitch for him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I did find it interesting how people, especially one in particular, my friend Tim on Twitter, was basically saying that they think Britt and Nicholas Cassanine would be a good couple. And I think so, too. I think that that would be hot. If Tyler Christopher ever comes back to the show as Nicholas, I think they should put those two together. But as far as Patrick and Sabrina go as a couple, I couldn't see that. I don't think that would work. I like the girl.
I do, too.
I like her in her scenes with Emma,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see them working as a couple. I just don't see it working.
I don't either. To me, she seems like the type that would fit better with a Spinelli.
That too. And I kind of feel like she's more like a sister to the family now than that of a romantic interest.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't, no. I don't get that either. So we'll have to just see what happens there. What do you think about AJ and Elizabeth?
That would be really good. I honestly think that would be an interesting couple. My other thing, too, is that with Lisa Lo Cicero now without Scott Reeves,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of wondering maybe they could do a little bit of an Liz, AJ, Olivia triangle, get that going. That would be really, really good.
Yeah, once AJ and Elizabeth get a little bit more of a romantic relationship going, then throw Olivia in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think at the beginning it wouldn't be a big deal, since
right.
they're not either one of them are really invested in each other yet. And, of course, Scott's just now leaving, which
right.
is kind of is sad. I mean, I almost felt like crying when Olivia cried, because nobody can cry like Lisa.
No, she's really good. She is a spitfire. Gotta love her.
Yeah, but it would be great to see her, you know, not as calm. And get off of this psychic stuff. I'm not caring for that.
Yeah, that's time for that to end, too. Put that and the whole split personality thing behind us, and then we're good to go.
Yeah, definitely. Who else? Who else are couples?
I'm still loving Carly's haircut. Laura Wright brought back my cut from the Guiding Light days. Ugh.
Oh, yes. Well, then Don will know exactly what you're talking about.
That is so true. I loved her hair. I always wanted her hair. I always said, gosh, if I could have her hair. I mean, it was always in place. Yeah, beautiful, thick, gorgeous hair. So, yeah, I'm digging the cut, too.
When she got that cut again, when she posted a pic of her drinking wine, we were all going like, oh, my gosh, she got her hair cut. And then me and Ryan were like, she got her hair cut back to when she was on Guiding Light. And I was like,
that's right.
I was so happy because that was one of my – that was – she looked hot in that cut. She looked hot in that cut.
Yes,
she looked
she
hot
did,
now
and,
with that cut.
You know, she's not aged a drop since Guiding Light. But all Guiding Light fans who have seen that pic are just like in heaven, because that's like the closest thing to Guiding Light in some respect.
You notice,
okay, we get.
Too, and you notice,
you know,
too, Dawn, that when this happened, when she – fixed herself up, she got this haircut and everything. Notice her style changed, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. It really did.
And
She's
like her with Roger.
Anyway.
I know a lot of people are upset about that because, of course, they want, you know, Cassie DePaiva back on as Blair. And I would love that too, but she's not on there. So, you know, Roger's got to move on. Blair moved on, so why not with Carly? I think they have great chemistry together.
They really do. They do. And what do you think about now? I know we talked about Julie Marie Berman leaving the show. What about Brandon Barash leaving the show?
Oh, I know. We were just talking about that. Remember, Dawn, the other day when we had the show, and I said to Michelle in the chat room, I go, all right, he's been given 20 years in jail. What are they going to do, show him every now and again talking when somebody goes to visit him in jail? I mean, how are they going to get him out of that? I said, is he leaving the show? And she says, not that I heard of. I said, well, go find out, because, you know, she always tweets us the articles that she finds. And none of us heard anything about it. So, but we kind of knew with that happening that he was going to end up off the show. Unless they got him out on a clause or something, you know. But, yeah, I'm kind of upset. I like Johnny.
I think he wanted to leave for a while, too. I know there's a lot of speculation going there, but I will not comment on that.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
But, you know, I didn't think it was a serious tweet when I first saw it, because obviously how he ended it was how he wanted to follow his dream in the NBA. And now it's just like when he confirmed it, I'm just like, well, damn. But if he wanted to leave, he wanted to leave. I wish him so much in his future endeavors. And I agree with Jamie Giddens from Daytime Confidential. I would love to see him on The Young and the Restless as Scott Fenmore.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great. I would love to see that, too. And I heard that, now it's just a rumor, of course. I don't know if I heard it or read it. I never know these days. That Bradford Anderson is the next one to go.
I heard that, too. Again, I don't know. But we'll see. I mean, honestly, he's the only one that's left out of Port Chuck.
I know. That's what I was thinking. First the band falls apart, and then all the TH characters are gone because Steve Burton left, you know?
I think, though, you might have a point, because I don't know. They're really not giving him much to do.
Right.
I mean, he has Ellie, and then there's Maxie, but without Jason there, really, what are they giving him?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he could at least go back to the PI business or get into, work with the police force or, I don't know, something. Yeah, he's left with really no job. And then Tracy, I think I was watching today, I caught a few minutes of it here and there. She was talking about taking his house away or his apartment or something. What was she talking about? Did you see it?
I didn't get to see it today since I was at work, so I missed it. I'm going to watch it on the Sipnik airing in a few. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because he actually, well, I don't know if I want to say anything, but he actually did something, and you'll see it later on, and because of what Tracy said to him.
Oh, okay.
We'll see how that gets explained, too. That's so funny. But Dom has been on the phone since we started this interview and chat, and he's chomping at the bit, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on so he can have his say. Are you with us, Dom?
I am. Good evening, all. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right, and it's kind of funny that I'm on the same show with Novell, because when news broke that a man named Ryan Biddle was going to be the new J.R. Chandler, he and me, myself, and Novell were talking about a little show called Sweet Valley High that featured Mr. Ryan Biddle about 1994, and not long after that conversation was the news that that same man was cast as new J.R. Chandler. So I tweeted to Novell, like, remember when we were talking about Sweet Valley High? And I showed him a link. He was like, oh.
That was too funny. We were. It was just like, it was probably like, what, the night before that news broke? And We were on Twitter talking about Sweet Valley High, and lo and behold, here we are seeing it the next day that, oh yeah, by the way, Ryan Biddle is going to be in J.R. Chandler, who used to star in Sweet Valley High, and I was like, are you kidding? I thought that was cute.
Yeah, for those who are listening, like, Sweet Valley, what's he talking about? In 1994, the people who made Power Rangers, yes, the people who made Power Rangers, made a television adaptation of Sweet Valley High that ran in syndication and on UPN for 3 years. And this actor, Ryan Biddle, was on the show playing one of the protagonist's boyfriends or something, I don't know. And then, lo and behold, here we are 19 years later, and he's going to be the new J.R. Chandler.
Right.
Yeah, so, I didn't know him, and I didn't watch that show, so I'm not familiar with him.
Well, like I said, it's Sweet Valley High. If anybody ever read the books, they just basically took the books and brought them to TV. That was it. But it is interesting that we're going to start the new AMC with J.R. Nakoma, because it does tie into the one thought I've had since the final show on ABC, that J.R. turned the gun on himself.
Yeah, that's what we thought, too. Especially when we heard that, we pretty much thought that that's what happened, is that he turned the gun on himself, so instead of shooting anybody there at the party.
Unfortunately, there is something else. We are so happy. If you're a fan of Ethan Regal, you're happy about the fact that she's coming back as Bianca for a bit. Unfortunately, Sarah Glendening is not coming back as Marissa, so we are left with one of two possibilities here. Well, actually, three. Number one, there's going to be a recast somewhere down the line. Number two, Bianca had yet another breakup, and we thought this would be the one that lasted. Or JR did manage to land one shot before turning the gun on himself.
What do you guys
think? Yeah, I can see that happening.
We all know that Eden's strength is when Bianca's miserable, so I wouldn't be that shocked either. Although, if nothing else, she's going to look a lot hotter, because did you see the promo pics ET put out of the behind-the-scenes shows?
They're steamy, aren't they?
I have never seen Eden Regal in short shorts. I swear, 10 years on all my children, it was either tight jeans, slacks, skirts, dresses, whatever. Never saw her in hot pants, and I'm like, damn.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I'm happy that she's coming back. All due respect to Christina Lynn. I thought she did a great job for the last year and a half. But, you know, Eden crystallized the role. She made it her own, and I'm very happy that she's coming back.
I was very surprised when the news broke that Eden Regal was going to come back and reprise the role of Bianca for the reboot. I didn't expect it, and I was just very surprised, and I was very excited to see her again in the part. So, mad props to her.
Thoughts exactly too. I was very shocked that she was going back on there, but I'm very happy about it.
I'm very happy that Kendall also wasn't shot and killed either, since they managed to get her to make a cameo on the series.
Mm-hmm.
So, make it a longer visit, please. But,
yeah.
I got a sad feeling that if they can't get Alicia Minshew back full time, and Kendall is going to come back for one episode, then I've got a feeling that Zach and Kendall are split up again.
Oh boy, cue the Kendall fans on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to stir the pot, but it's like, look, we all know that the entire original cast was not going to come back. We knew this going in. So they would have to decide how to write out those who wouldn't be returning. For example, Chrishell Spouse and Ricky Paul Golden. You know, that's easy to write off, just have Jake and Amanda move out. That's a simple thing to do. Simple. But when you have, like, Torsten K coming back, but not Torsten K and Alicia Minshew, then you have to come up with something. So, and with Kendall actually coming back, we know that she didn't get gunned down by JR. So I'm thinking either a long business trip or a divorce, one of the two. Considering the tumultuous history of Zach and Kendall, I'm leaning towards the latter, sad to say.
Yeah, anything's possible, especially since they're going to be 5 years ahead. You know, a lot can happen
exactly.
in 5 years.
Right.
There's no what's going to happen in that gap. You have the opportunity, you know, to come up with a lot of material here. So I'm looking forward to that. As far as everyone complaining about how it's going to be all nudity and foul language and whatever, look, it's the Internet. The Internet is not regulated by the FCC. I knew going in that it was going to be a bit more extreme than what you find on ABC. I wouldn't be that shocked. I'll say this now. I would not be that shocked if we came across, you know, a couple of bare asses and a few F-bombs.
I'm waiting for those. I'm waiting for all of the bombs to drop, man. Can you imagine Opal dropping an F-bomb?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Well, the thing about Opal is that she may be all scatterbrained, but I got a feeling she, behind closed doors, she ran poor Palmer ragged, so to speak. So, I mean, why do you think the man wound up dying? But I digress. Point I'm trying to make is AMC and One Life are going to be a bit more edgy than what you're accustomed to. It's not going to be full on, you know, Skinamax, yada yada yada. But at the same time, you might, like I said, you might see a couple bare asses, you might get an F bomb or two. The language and is going to be a bit saltier, especially since the focus seems to be more on the next generation as compared to the veterans who are returning.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anyways, that's my thoughts on the reboot. I have Hulu Plus. I took the liberty of getting Hulu Plus, so really looking forward to when they announce the launch dates for the new shows. As far as I should tell you, as far as Y&R goes, I don't watch Y&R. Except for a brief stint when Eden Regal was on as Heather, and just as an aside, for the record, being a BAMF fan, I still think Heather and Chloe should have had mind-numbing, hate-cracking hate sex, but that's just my opinion. But if Bianca and Maggie were sexual healing, Heather and Chloe would have been Nine Inch Nails is closer. But anyways, I don't watch Bold and Beautiful. The only thing I ever liked about that show is the 1987-2004 theme song, which they should have brought back because everything they've used since then sucks. Don't watch Days, and GH is my joint.
Well, we all have our favorites.
That we do. I'm just explaining.
I just actually bought the People magazine celebrating in General Hospital actually the other day. So I'm kind of excited to check that out too.
Is it on the newsstands? Because I ordered mine off of Amazon.
It is on the newsstands, yeah.
It is on the newsstands, but the downside is like $15 so or something. GH has been amazing, and on Twitter today, Frank Valentini released a logo for the Nurses Ball. So that, and they said, and all signed, and Novella, if you can confirm this, if you can, they've started rehearsals on it. So it looks like we're not that far away.
They did. One of the stars of GH actually tweeted it, and I can't remember who, but I did see one of the GA stars tweet that they were doing Nurses Ball rehearsals. I think it was Teresa Castillo, who plays Sabrina. So
yeah, because I think I saw a picture of Rebecca Herbst and I forgot his name, but he's the guy who plays Felix. I don't know if it's just they're just playing around or if that means that Rebecca's going to perform again. I hope. This is my thing. Because we have Sabrina as a cousin of Juan Santiago, and they didn't ask Michael Cicito to return, unfortunately. What I'm hoping is that they do another version of Footloose.
Interesting. See, I didn't think of that. That was good.
Yes, you put Sabrina in the trademark red leather pants and be done with it.
Yeah.
And
she's like
a
mini Lucy, you know, when Lucy first hit town as the librarian. So.
Yeah. That was
and
fun.
And I will say this much about Lucy Coe when it comes to the Nurses Ball. If the Nurses Ball does not end with Lucy being stripped down from underwear, there was no
yes.
point doing it at all.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I said
you know
same
it.
Same thing. I said that if she is not in her underwear, the Nurses Ball, in some way, shape, or form, you failed.
Yes. But you failed all of us fans that have been watching every Nurse's Ball for every year that it was on, and she was practically naked in stomach.
I'm going to put it on Twitter right now.
Okay, you do that, and I'm going to retweet it.
You have. Guys, you need to understand something. Since Nurse's Ball is about raising awareness for AIDS and what have you, we have avenues here that we didn't have when it ended in 2001. We have iTunes, you know. We
right.
have the internet. We have, you could sell songs on iTunes and all the profits go towards AIDS research. I'm just saying that there are, you know, options that we have in 2013 we didn't have in 2001.
Right.
That's true.
So, you know, I'm just saying I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be very interesting, very fun. And about Lucy Coe and the whole vampire thing, I didn't watch Four Charles either. Neville probably doesn't know my story, but the Cliff Notes version was, became a fan of Phil's Guiding Light, took a break when it ended, came back when AMC ended, became a fan of the show on YouTube, then watched One Life, loved that, and then FGH, and that's where we are now. But I did see some of Tale of the Mivy's work on Port Charles on YouTube, and they were amazing. Now, when it comes to the character Sam McCall, I'm a fan of the Jason Liz pairing, but that's not the that being said, Kelly and Michael, amazing chemistry, and I'm very happy that apparently Caleb is not dead.
Sorry, I had something stuck in my throat.
Was it a snowball?
Yeah, it was a snowball. No, I think I'm losing my voice. It's just, it's been going in and out for the past couple of days, and my G-kids have been over, and they're sick, throwing up and whatever. So I'm like, please, God, no, please, not again. I thought we were over this, but the way the weather's going.
We had a hailstorm here in Boise. I live in Boise, Idaho. We have a hailstorm here a couple days ago. And the sad thing was, it was the weather here is such that it changes every 5 minutes. No joke. So I'm walking out of Taco Bell, right? I'm getting heading towards the bus stop. I look up, and I'm like, sunny. And then all of a sudden, literally, the clouds just move in, and down comes the hail. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So
you never know
anyway,
these days.
It is. But, yeah, like I said, General Hospital is I'll go so far as to say, in my opinion, I think GH is not just a great soap opera, but it's the best show on television. Just my opinion.
It's doing very well. It's very much like the General Hospital of old, and I know people are like saying that this is way too campy, this is way too that, but I'm like, do we not remember what General Hospital was like back in the day?
It's entitlement. You have the fans who hate the fact that the One Life to Live characters are still on. You have the fans who hate Fort Charles and hate the fact that Belle's elements are being incorporated. You have the people who hate the newbies. You have the people who hate the veterans. You're not going to please everybody, and there is going to be at least one thing that somebody will complain about.
This is true.
Stop that. You said the same thing I did.
That, you know, when Steve Burton left GH to go to Y&R, oh, the uproar, my God in heaven.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I've seen some of his work, and he's doing an okay job. Like I said, I don't watch Y&R, but I don't think he's doing a good job. It's like they become so devotedly complete. You want to be devoted to a TV show, that's great. You're a fan, that's fine. But when the fan, being a fan, tips over into obsession, then we have a problem.
Yeah. Now, Neville, I just went to retweet the tweet you put out there, and then all of a sudden, from all of my accounts, all of a sudden I get failed. I'm like, what? And then I looked back, and I saw you deleted it.
Oh, yeah, because I forgot to put the ha in it and the hashtag, so I had to redo it again.
Okay, because I was able to retweet that one. I thought, what the heck? What's wrong with TweetDeck now? So anyways, we're getting to the top of the second hour, and I'm going to have to let you guys all go. It's been a slice, and I thank you so much, Neville, for joining us tonight. It's really been fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you.
Neville, I'm actually glad to speak to you face-to-face, so to speak. You know,
I know, right?
I get a kick out of Well, I think I get a kick out of the stuff you guys use. I need a new tongue. This old one's cracked. Let me say that again. I dig the stuff that you tweet. I think, you know, what you do is pretty cool, and, you know, keep on keeping on, and I'll continue to keep on as well. A follow would be nice, but I'm not complaining. So
you know,
that's about it.
Since you asked me so nicely, I will give you the follow. But, dude, we always tweeting about the All My Children's opening themes, man. It's always fun.
I will say this much about that. We know they're going to get new opening titles. We know they're going to get new logos. That's great. If they keep the theme songs, hallelujah, because if All My Children does something similar to what they did between 95 and 02, I will mute the damn TV. But that song sucks.
It did. It really did.
As far as One Life goes, I want people, damn it, or at least something similar. Because the 95-02 theme was nothing more than a bunch of generic guitar riffs coupled with some synthesizers. Not enough. It was not creative. It was generic and stupid.
I like when Chris Alderson sang it.
Yeah. Okay. Do something like that, but just not those guitar riffs. Like na 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 na. Give me a break.
It stuck in your head, didn't it? So they completed their mission.
I want Snoop Dogg back. I want his.
Do you think he would actually do the internet an internet episode of One Like the List, Snoop Dogg?
The man changed his name to Snoop Lion. He'll probably be stoned enough to agree.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm
fair
enough. So.
Never say never. Well, thanks for calling in, Dom. We always appreciate your feedback, and you take care of yourself.
All righty, I'll chat with you guys later.
Bye-bye.
See you, Dom.
Okay, why is somebody calling in now? We're getting ready to end the show. Let's see who this is real quick. 215, who's calling? I'm only getting spinning on this side, Dawn. They hung up. Maybe they heard that we were ending the show.
I couldn't get it anyway. I'm in this funky screen with this exam I'm trying to take.
Oh, okay. No problem. Well, they hung up. So, Nivelle, thank you. I'd love to do this again somewhere down the line, play catch up and talk about the soaps, and once AMC and One Life to Live hit the screens.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, and it was nice learning more about you.
Anytime. Thank you again.
Thank you so very much.
I have to call you Mr. Fedora.
Yes, absolutely.
I hope to meet you one day, too. It'd be nice.
L.A. probably be your best bet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's right.
Don't hold your breath on that one anytime soon, but we'll see what we can do.
All right.
But take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, Dawn, that was fun, huh?
Yes. Very much so.
Different than normal, and we didn't grill him too bad, right?
Oh, no. It was really, I liked the conversational aspect of it.
Yeah, it was nice. And I love getting other people's opinions that watch the same soaps that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I happen to agree with everything he said. You know, and I think there's probably a lot of fans out there that agree with the things he said, both good and bad.
Right, yeah, definitely. Most
so
definitely.
We're going to wrap up, but before we do, I just want to mention for you listeners to join us on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. We have our Take Two Radio Indie Music Awards show, and the winners will be calling in, and we'll have a quick chat with them and play one of their songs, and we'll have people calling in from the U.K. and people calling in from across the U.S., so I think it should be fun.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a blast, talking to all the different artists and the winners of that. And it'll be a great show, no doubt.
Yeah, I know I'll enjoy it. You know me and you both with the indies, so.
Most definitely, you know it.
If anything, it'll be a show for us.
That's right.
And as I said in the earlier show, that we were going to have Mike Lidskin on, our new co-host for some of the music shows. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to make it this Sunday because his wife's birthday is in a couple of weeks, and her parents decided to throw a party, a surprise party for her. So they're happening to do it on this Sunday. So I told him, don't worry about it. And he and I will be doing an interview on, I believe it's the 12th. Do you know, Don?
I can't look at it,
unfortunately. Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
of no help to you right now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, actually, it's not. The 12th is you and I. It's the 17th.
Okay.
Excuse me. Mike and I will be doing an interview on Sunday, March 17th. So you'll get to meet him then. And he can't get his feet wet. He's just going to have to dive right in.
Yeah, that's true.
So with that, we're going to wrap up. Thank you for all who listened. And thanks, Sam, for calling in. Thanks, for Michelle, for being in the chat room and filling me in on a couple of things that I didn't know the answers to. And thanks, Dawn, for joining me again tonight. Now you go do your exam and do well like you have been, and you'll be free for the weekend, I believe, right?
No, I'm going to be free for the next week, and it can't happen soon enough. I'm so excited, to tell you the truth. So I'm actually working on my last assignment as we speak, my last exam for this part of the semester, and yay, I'll be done.
Yeah.
So I'll be in a celebratory mood come tomorrow.
Yeah, she won't be able to keep herself contained.
That's right. I won't, but that's okay. It'll be, I have to be excited. This is something to be excited about, no doubt about it.
Yeah. And tomorrow, Dawn and I will be co-hosting together for her show Behind the Mic with Texas Battle at what time?
5 p.m. Eastern.
Yep. So follow her on Twitter, BT Mike
Radio.
Mike Radio.
That's right.
And you'll be able to see her tweets for tomorrow and then join us on her show.
Yes.
We'll be tag teaming it again.
I know. We're tag team city, you and I.
All right.
Sure.
So everybody have a good night. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe and God bless. We'll see you again soon. Good night, Dawn.
Good night, Pam.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect with Take Two Radio on Twitter at Take Two Radio and at Dawn Take Two Radio. You can also look us up on Facebook at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at take2radio.com. And follow us on Blog Talk so you can stay up to the minute of each episode as we add it. Each episode is always available for download immediately following each broadcast. And you can also download every podcast on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.